Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. I am your host, Garrett, joined only this week by Wade.
Hello.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Brad is vacationing and house hunting this week and potentially next week. We'll learn more as it goes. All I know is there's something about lime green walls.
Nice.
That's all I know. Hopefully that'll get illuminated for us here in the future. But for that, it will be a shorter episode. Not a lot really to talk about this week, but we'll try to get into what we can. You know us, we blab, and that's what we'll do. So, Wade, let's start off with the weekend situation for you.
The weekend? I mean, it was what movie-filled, wasn't it?
Yes, for us it was.
Yeah, well, we went and saw two movies. Not really anything after that. Did I get another E-pipe flavor? Well, not E-pipe, E-pen, whatever flavor, but so did you.
Yep, that's true.
Where else did we do? I don't remember the...
Yeah, it was pretty tame.
It was errands, I think, but that was...
pretty tame. Yeah. Let's see. For me, I took a nice long weekend. Thursday, I spent purely working on the main channel. A lot of content slated for you guys. Some new stuff, too. We've got a Portal 2 series we started. That'll be posting up probably later next month, actually. Far Cry 4 is coming to an end. And Batman will be picking up more of a swing on that. So lots to come there. Going to try to push through on Batman. And I've still got an Assassin's Creed game to start.
Jeez.
Still in the plastic to deal with.
And so, they've already announced another one at E3.
So. I know. I was late to the party on this one. And we were playing Far Cry 4. So it got shelved. Friday, we went to the movies. We saw Terminator Genesis, of which we tweeted about. And Saturday, was it Saturday? Yeah, because you were off.
Yep.
We went and saw Minions, so we'll talk about that. The rest of Saturday, some minor errands. I'm working on a few projects here. You know, maybe I'll post up some pictures, too, on Twitter. I'm building a board game platform. If you're familiar with Monopoly, there's a version called Luxury Monopoly, where it comes kind of engraved on a wooden platform with built-in drawers for all the pieces. I'm not going that aggressive, but I am making something kind of along those lines. It's almost done. It needs a stain and some feet, so I'll throw some pictures up on Twitter for that. I'm also working an old project that started picking up again is a Army of Two mask. So,
right.
Going to be working some more on that, fiberglass and that kind of stuff.
Just should have
so,
molded out of styrofoam, put in a bucket, fill it with sand. And
there's an option there.
You just need to put like wood where the eye holes are, fill in around the thing so that it doesn't get consumed.
Yep. So like I said, Wade's been talking about getting into metalwork and casting. So
the only real problem is I cannot find an anvil that does suit my needs.
Well, again, for casting, you don't need one. So if you want to just get started with casting, you just need to get the right sand, some foam, and a furnace to melt your aluminum down.
Hmm.
You've already got the crucible. You don't need an anvil.
I got some aluminum because I got Angry Orchard cans.
Yep. That goes a lot less than you think it does, though. So
yeah,
I would recommend either melting some down and stockpiling it up, or...
Because you don't realize what's actually in the can is now air. That is completely hollow.
Or getting some actual aluminum stock from a metal supply.
Yep.
So Sunday was a pretty mild day. I don't really think we did much here around the house. Again, I just worked on some of my stuff, and we've been watching BattleBots.
Oh, yeah.
So if you haven't caught up with BattleBots, you are missing out. So that's what's going on in that front. Anything else to add there, Wade?
Other than BattleBots is a very entertaining show.
Yeah.
Nope.
You talked about vape flavors. We talked kind of jokingly a couple weeks ago about vaping with caffeine. Now, I had actually found out that there is a vape juice or vape fluid company called High Voltage.
They're supposed to be pretty good.
It's, I mean, the flavor that I got is called Tesla. It's very good. It's a kiwi dragon fruit kind of combination. It's quite tasty, but it is infused with caffeine. Now, once FDA or whatever kind of cracks down on the vaping industry, it'll probably get canned because nothing really has been tested on inhaling caffeine. Obviously, we know what it does when you consume it digestion-wise, but not inhalation.
And now he's the spider with the screwed up web, as we talked about last week.
Pretty much, yeah. If you haven't seen that movie with the drugged up spiders, you owe it to yourself. So if you are looking for something like that, High Voltage, you can find it. We found it at a brick and mortar store not far from us, so it's around. So that's that. With that, I think we'll just jump into the movie section.
There's a lot to talk about here.
A lot to talk about in movies. One thing to do, a quick call out. Comic-Con of San Diego was last week. A lot of announcements and a lot of teasers and trailers released, two of which we'll talk about here shortly. But before we get to that, and coming out this week, we have three primary movies, two of which more major than the third. But first one is Ant-Man, rated at 79%, PG-13, starring Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, and Evangeline Lilly. The next evolution of the Marvel Cinematic Universe brings a founding member of the Avengers to the big screen for the first time with Marvel Studios. Armed with the astonishing ability to shrink in size, or in scale rather, but increase in strength, Master Thief Scott Lang must embrace his inner hero and help his mentor Dr. Hank Pym, P-Y-M, if I'm pronouncing that wrong, I apologize, protect the secret behind his spectacular Ant-Man suit from the next generation of towering threats. Against seemingly insurmountable obstacles, Pym and Lang must plan and pull off a heist that will save the world. I'm curious about this movie because historically the Marvel movies have been quite good.
And I feel that we've kind of been, how do I want to say this? Overhyped with a lot of the movies now. I mean, that's not overhyped as a word, but I'm not really feeling too much of the excitement for these movies anymore. And I feel it's that, okay, we're now getting more or less desensitized by, you know, look how good these movies are. And it's, I'm kind of not, I'm interested, but it seems run of the mill to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I say I'm curious. I'm not excited. The character doesn't really appeal to me. And some of the older Marvel stuff that I have watched and exposed myself to, Ant-Man was never a character that was a primary.
Yeah.
He may have been a founding character in the comics for the Avengers, but he definitely doesn't really stack up against the Avenger characters we've been introduced to in the cinematic world. But I'm curious to see how well it does, how it pulls off. I'm curious about the villain who looks, it's got the suit with the extra arms, so to speak. It's kind of like Dr. Octopus, but
Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit more, maybe arachnid-esque, I don't know. Again, curious. Number two in the, coming out this week, rather, is Trainwreck at 92%. It is rated R with Amy Schumer, Bill Hader, and Colin Quinn. Since she was a little girl, it's been drilled into Amy's head by her rascal of a dad that monogamy is not realistic. Now a magazine writer, Amy lives by the credo, enjoying what she feels is an uninhibited life, free from stifling, boring romantic commitment, but in actuality, she's kind of in a rut. When she finds herself starting to fall for the subject of a new article she's writing, a charming and successful sports doctor named Aaron Connors, Amy starts to wonder if other grown-ups including this guy, who really seems to like her, might be onto something. This kind of seems like a female hitch to me, sort of. Like, not from a dating doctor standpoint, but, you know, in Hitch, he was all about just dating and not getting married.
Yeah,
and,
well, he was, Hitch, you know, was more his...
Never feel the, pain.
He's a he was a relationship doctor. He wasn't...
But his character, he wasn't about... For himself, wasn't about monogamy, right? He gets to a certain point and he stops because he doesn't want to, like, be tied down. And then Eva Mendes' character comes along and kind of breaks him out of that. So it sounds like it's
Eva Mendes could break me out of a lot of things. Let's just say that.
Amen to that. So again, 92%, so pretty well rated there. Number three, this one is probably a limited release. It is Mr. Holmes at 87%, starring Sir Ian McKellen, a.k.a. Gandalf, a.k.a.
Magneto,
thank you. This is rated PG, a new twist on the world's most famous detective. In 1947, aging Sherlock Holmes returns from a journey to Japan where, in search of a rare plant with powerful restorative qualities, he has witnessed the devastation of nuclear warfare. Now, in his remote seaside farmhouse, Holmes faces the end of his days tending to his bees with only the company of his housekeeper and her young son, Roger. Grappling with the diminishing powers of his mind, Holmes comes to rely upon the boy as he revisits the circumstances of the unsolved case that forced him into retirement and searches for answers to the mysteries of his life and love before it's too late. Wade's got an interesting smirk on his face. Yeah, it kind of sounds like it'd be fairly slow. Ian McKellen says something, 87%, not bad. Excuse me.
Long day?
A little bit of a long day. Do pardon that. In the box office, we have Minions at $115.7 million. Jurassic World number 2 at $18.2 million, Inside Out at $17.7 million, and Terminator Genesis at $13.8 million. I mean, not a bad run for Minions. It definitely didn't compete with Jurassic World in its opening day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, opening day, Jurassic World pulled in $100 million, whereas Minions, I think, pulled in $45 million. But let's start off at the bottom of the list and let's go Terminator Genesis.
We saw this on Friday.
We did. It's now been out for what? 2-3 weeks? Something like that.
I don't know.
Okay. what'd you think?
Keeping track of time is not my strong suit.
Yeah.
All I got to know is what time I need to be at work and what time I get off of work.
Okay. Fantastic.
But in times of Terminator Genesis, there were lots of time jumps. It still kind of felt run-of-the-mill. Still, you know, it's normal. I think it was kind of maybe hitching along the success of, well, the nostalgia, sorry, of the older films.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They did jump around quite a bit. There's a reason why it only got something like 26%.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable. I had a good time watching it. I did like some of the societal quirks they put into it. They really pointed out how, you know, when you jump forward in time, what only seems like a minute to you is 30 years to somebody else. And they deal with how they go from the 80s to... 2007, and everyone's carrying smartphones, and they call out to that. It's a brief little line, but everyone's like, everyone's holding these things. What are they doing?
Yeah, that's Amelia definitely Clark.
A culture shock to someone from the 80s who cell phones aren't even really around.
Which is Amelia Clark's character, Sarah Connor, and she's like, what's this? Everyone has these.
Yeah, so. What's going on here? I enjoyed it. There were a couple... There was only one kind of concern I had with the plot, and they kind of finished it off okay. I would say it's probably a red boxer for most.
Yep.
It's enjoyable. It's not going to wow you, but you'll have a good time watching it.
Get it for a night. It's a time killer.
Yeah. Well, it's not a time killer. It's better than that. You'll enjoy it, but you may not necessarily feel it's worth, you know, $11-$12 a head.
Yep.
So there's that. Minions, we saw Saturday. I personally, I don't know, was hoping great things from this, but everything that we see in the trailers is like the first 2 minutes of the movie. You know, I was hoping they would go into that more and more, kind of the history of, and it was the opening sequence, and it just kind of jumped into the movie, which was kind of a downer for me. But I don't know. It was cute. It was fun. Some good comedic parts, as you would expect. I personally thought Inside Out was a more creative and probably a more entertaining movie.
Yep. I mean, it just went from like, oh, well, people find these little guys popular. Let's just make the movie about them. It's like, for me, not the best movie. I know. Yep. I'm sounding kind of negative with all these movies that we're going through, but none of them really stood out for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to see real quick what the critic rating was when we touched on this last week. So, I mean, and really, the movie is only about three of the minions. It's not about the entire, you know, miniondom, so to speak, which was kind of lacking to me. I thought they could have gotten more involved. But let's take a look here real quick. So last week, it's rated at 74%. I think it's gone down a little bit since then. But yeah, Minion, 74%. Now, on other movie topics, with Comic-Con happening this past weekend, a lot of trailers came out. Now, one of the bigger ones that was caused a little bit of controversy is, I think it's Universal, who is the primary production company of Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and they, I think what you're referring to is that they did the same thing with the World of Warcraft movie.
Potentially, but hold on one second. Let me just make sure I've got my points right here. Production company. Really? Nothing? Brilliant. Thanks, IMDb. You kill me. Anyway, I think it's Universal, where they had released the trailer to Comic-Con as a Comic-Con exclusive of Suicide Squad.
Yep.
Someone had apparently recorded it while at the convention and leaked it online. Universal tried to stop it because they wanted it to be an exclusive for the Comic-Con event. You know, kind of give people that were able to go and get tickets, you know, a little bit more than the rest of us. They weren't able to do so, and they have released it themselves.
Blizzard did shut down the WoW movie recordings, by the way.
Yeah. We have attached the Suicide Squad trailer to our show notes, YouTube, or feel free to go to YouTube and watch it there. It is, if you know what to look for, some interesting stuff. You do see Jared Leto as Joker. Should be a pretty entertaining Joker. I think he'll bring a lot to the character. Maybe a little bit more demented than Heath Ledger's character was.
And there's actually kind of an annoying thing that I recently found with these past couple days after Comic-Con. When his character was released, there was that, it was a still frame of, you know, him, you know, his hands on his head, basically screaming. Right?
No, I mean, at the end of the trailer, he's kind of talking.
Before the trailer, this was weeks.
Oh, just a still of the movie?
Yeah. It was just a still of him with his hands on head kind of screaming in character. Are you looking up here?
I am looking to see if we can find that exact image. Although Yahoo is not exactly the best option for that.
Sorry, Yahoo.
That's probably that one right there.
Nah. Anyway, as you were looking through, there you go. You can see that right there.
Yep.
People were really kind of really critical of this kind of image, kind of mixing it with like if Miley Cyrus and what's his name, Heath Ledger had a child, you know, this is basically what he looked like. But now all of a sudden,
that's a little nuts, but okay.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden we have, you know, the trailer, and oh, people are, oh, okay, yeah, this guy's real good, you know, he's the best joke. It's like complete 180.
So there's an interesting picture, and it shows Jared Leto as the Joker, and he is shirtless, and all these tattoos, and on his side is a tattoo of the pseudo Heath Ledger Joker, which is kind of cool. But in the middle of his chest, it says, I am awesome. Underneath that, it says MySpace, a place for friends. So the MySpace logo there. On one forearm, he's got a big grin. The other one, over the place. So some pretty interesting stuff. I think he's going to bring a good, demented, pseudo-psychotic aspect to the role, which, you know, we could use. We've been used to it from the video game stuff with the voice of, what's his name?
Mark Hamill.
And we'll see how well Jared does it in the movie. It looks like in the trailer, it looks solid. So we'll go from there. Trailer doesn't really, it gives you a little bit of what's going on. It just gives you kind of the core premise, not really anything on the conflict. But it kind of gives you a brief little touch on some of the characters if you know what to look for.
And this trailer, I don't know if this was actually the Comic-Con exclusive trailer. I doubt it. But this one actually did give me more... Pardon? Ugh. It gave me more of an interest to it. It wasn't just like, oh, look, here's the enemy. Here's the hero. Fight. This was... Here's a whole bunch of people who are supposed to be heroes, but they're actually bad guys, and now they have to get along together to handle something. Yeah. Now, that looked interesting.
Yeah, it should really be curious as how it all comes together. I'm curious about it, and I don't know if I necessarily was prior to seeing the trailer. So,
and from what I've seen, the actress who plays Harley Quinn, she looks like she does a pretty good job in it, so...
Let's take a quick look. Are you supposed to see that again?
She was in Wolf of Wall Street, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not see Wolf of Wall Street.
Neither did I.
Looks like she's, at least the picture we're looking at, she's wearing a cheerleading outfit, and on it it says Daddy's Little Monster. Here's an animated drawing of it.
She's kind of more of a
I think she
thuggish
was in,
version.
Yeah, she's a little bit... Yeah. Nah, I mean, she... Looks good. She looks like she could play the character well. I think she was in Sucker Punch in one of those movies too, but I could be getting that mistaken.
Mm.
Anyway, so that was announced. Also at Comic-Con, the flip side of this particular coin, the Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice movie trailer was released. We've linked that in the show notes as well. A lot of interesting things with that one. You see Batman in a few different suits, one fairly normal and one armored up, pseudo Iron Man meets Batman type deal.
Yep.
You see the Batmobile and consequently getting busted up. Definitely a fight conflict. You see Wonder Woman. We do not see Aquaman in the trailer. And there's a lot of people picking the trailer apart, trying to extrapolate what may actually be going on in the scenes. If you want maybe a little bit more insight, check those out. If you just want to see the trailer, it is on YouTube, and we have linked that in the show notes as well.
I just want these to be out. I am tired of seeing all the promotional and all the fan stuff, you know, and it's okay. You can gladly have all your things. I am just really getting tired of...
The build-up?
The build-up. It's like when people are, 2006, look at all these things. It's like, can just get them out, please?
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing about them. I just want to watch them. And I think this is pretty much what's driving my, what do I want to say, downer?
Your depressed mentality?
Yeah, of the issues here. When it's, I'm tired of hearing about Batman vs. Superman. I'm tired about hearing about Civil War. I'm tired of hearing about Suicide Squad. I'm just like, let's go. Just get it out.
Yeah. But that about does it for movie stuff. Realized that was a little long-winded.
Well, we had a lot to
cover. It's fine. So let's jump into some news. And really, this is going to be heavy on Wade. So here we go.
Coming into news, we have a kind of, well, not kind, but a very depressing entrance.
Do we?
Yes. A man, a legend in the video game world, has passed away this week as of July 11th. The head and CEO of Nintendo, Mr. Iwata, I'm sorry, I blanked on how to pronounce his first name, passed away due to a bile duct tumor and unfortunately is no longer with us. He was, before entering Nintendo, he worked on a very classic game known as Earthbound. He was one of the people who brought that very little small title known as Pokemon to the West, or even was a hand in creating Pokemon, as well with the Pokemon Stadium and its attachment to the back of the controller to allow you to have your own. He was part of that. He took up the chair of president in 2002, right before or during the depression of Nintendo with the GameCube. And under his leadership, we began with the DSs, the Wiis, and the Wii U, and the Amiibos, which was the plastic figurines, which add something to your games.
I see.
So, unfortunately, he was not in attendance at this year's E3 due to he was in surgery for this particular problem, and obviously it did not take. During a speech when he was attending, I think it was at CDC, he remarked, "On my card, it says president. On my head, it says games developer. But in my heart, I'm a gamer." It's a very nice, very touching thing to say as someone who's
Wade's about to cry.
Shush.
A little teary-eyed.
Did you like Mario?
Want a tissue? No, this is definitely a very moving time. I think he darn near broke Twitter. All the images, pictures, call-outs, respects going out to him. So, you know, he gave a very strong contribution to the gaming industry. Nintendo may not be seen as, you know, top of the line right now, but if you look at the roots and where it came from, definitely something to be respected.
He brought Nintendo back. He was the first president that was outside of the Yamamuchi family, who were the family that began Nintendo.
Yeah.
Very so good. For him to actually bring that back is something quite amazing. He took up the chair in 2002, and he then became CEO in 2013. So very good. You will be missed, sir.
Yes, indeed. If I knew Japanese, I'd say that, but I don't, so I won't.
And I will, I guess, join our the rest of the other podcasts who have gotten this call out, but sayonara, Mr. Iwata-san.
That's right. What else you got for us?
Well, a bit of a discussion piece, and this is perfect for it. The hit indie horror game, Five Nights at Freddy's saw the releasement of its fourth trailer for its upcoming game. And when I saw this, I kind of questioned, do we really Do we really need a fourth Five Nights at Freddy's?
Well, I haven't played any Five Nights at Freddy's. And so, to me, no. I know nothing about the game series.
In doing so, and I know some of the backstory, as I said, I'm a horror person, so I do like to look into these things. The whole thing was that you were in the first two, I believe, you were in a family pizzeria where the animatronics were pretty much, I kind of want to say, imbued with the souls of dead kids.
Brilliant.
And and with that, the, what's it called? The animatronics would roam around at night. But due to the company, Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria, would not, or was, their policy was that you had to be in costume. Well, if you weren't in costume and the animatronics found you, they would try to shove you into one, even though if there wasn't something there, if there's already something in there. So basically, kill you. The second one was in a recreation of the aforementioned pizza chain, and now we're in a house, which kind of breaks the story, kind of breaks the setting a little bit, because the animatronics are no longer in the pizzeria. Therefore,
it doesn't really make sense why they're there at all.
Doesn't really make sense that they would try to get you and kill you, because their version of killing you is to take you and shove you into an animatronic suit.
Uh-huh.
So if it's not there, what reason do they have to do so?
Sure. Okay. So that was number two.
What?
Right? You said that was number two game?
Oh, no. That was... The first two were in the thing. Then the third one is in the recreation.
The house.
The fourth one is in the house.
Oh.
Well, from what we see in the trailer. And that's okay. Where, you know, it's kind of thing. It's like, well, why are they coming after me? We're not in the Freddy Fazbear's pizza chain. They don't have any reason to grab me and try to shove me in a suit, because it's no longer in the restaurant, so you don't have to follow company policy.
Interesting. Loosely. So they're making this new one that... When did the last one come out?
Not sure. Maybe about last year, but this was brought up because... they were going to have a Halloween release, but they kicked it up for the one-year anniversary.
I see.
Yeah. So, okay. I guess you really don't really have much say in it, because you never really looked into it.
I don't. I mean, it sounds like an indie company is trying really hard to...
It's a one-man team, I believe.
Yeah. Instead of making one good game, he's just shotgunning the same game. You know, maybe just slight tweaks to it, new area, but the concept hasn't changed, it sounds like.
Pretty much.
So what is he really offering, or what is the developed company really offering the gaming community with the same game every time?
It's slight tweaks, I mean, which change the gameplay a little bit, but now there are just so many knockoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's weird. I mean, I guess I kind of feel the same way about all the Call of Duty stuff. You know, every year or so, a new one comes out.
And you should be getting about that feeling for Assassin's Creed then.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a fair statement. They're all extremely similar, but they all have, you know, new skins, new areas. And they do their research on the maps for Assassin's Creed. You know, they've dabbled in a few different things. I haven't played the one that I have now, which I think is Rogue for the PS3, Xbox 360s. I don't have Unity, which is only for the current gen consoles, PS4, Xbox One. And then the new one coming out, obviously, that is, I guess, London-esque time period. But yeah, I mean, but I don't know. The story in those kind of trumpet for me, although... I'm really bummed, I think I've said this before, that they've ditched the modern-day timeline story and kind of focused exclusively on the animus ancestral stories. And I was really curious how the modern day story was going to evolve.
It kind of upsets me that we covered this on an earlier episode. There was a hidden or leaked art book. Sorry, Logday's me apparently. Of which, in this art, reminiscent of the Forbidden City and a temple in Japan. Or not Japan, Tokyo. No, god dang it. In China. You know, and if this is the case, it's, you know, they're going to go. How many countries are they going to go through?
I mean, if they're at a point where they've ditched the point that ties them all together. So in theory, if they reference different hosts' ancestry, they could go infinite. They could go into Chinese lore and Japanese lore and
I swear Desmond Eastern was a melting pot, if well, that was the case.
Yeah, but I don't know if Desmond is involved in the Unity or Rogue or in the next one coming out that I don't recall its name.
This was during Brotherhood. No, that was the second one.
Yeah, that was still Desmond.
We're looking. Sorry.
This is the one with the Syndicate.
Syndicate. Yeah, this is during the Industrial Revolution.
But even in the Black
Flag.
Black Flag, thank you. That was moving away from the core story of Desmond and what was tied to him. So I don't know how these next set, where the tie will be.
And that was, it's kind of weird because I remember seeing in the first one, when after you completed the game, you walked around, I guess, the area. You couldn't really go anywhere. And there was all markings and stuff like that.
Yeah, Desmond obtained the Eagle Vision and there were markings in the room. And even throughout the gameplay, it referenced a previous subject. And you were finding things in-game that that person had left. So there was a commonality and kind of, interaction.
What about the Pieces of Eden? Were there anything with that? I mean,
yeah, I mean, those kind of came to fruition. But, you know, again, it's not to say that Desmond's story just ended, but he was the linking factor with the primary characters for the first set of games, and they're moving away from that. So I'm just curious as how they continue on, and if they truly branch off, the possibilities for stories are endless.
Yeah.
They can go Aztec. They can go, again, the Asian. They can go,
Russian.
Indian.
Russian would be weird.
Russian. Yeah, I mean, it's all available.
Wow. So, I'm trying to think of a Russian Assassin's Creed. Wow.
Well, that happens. So it'll be curious. And again, once we get some time, we'll get that up on the channel too. But it's probably, you probably won't see that for a good few months. Fair warning.
So what was your take on Comic-Con this year? We didn't attend because it was already sold out.
Didn't attend.
I have my reservations on that. I think I'll get
to it when you're done. A coworker goes every year, and she was very upset in the mindset of the panels. So in Hall H, which is the biggest hall that they do, and they do all the panels in, there's a huge line to get in. And once you're in, you're kind of locked in. And what was really frustrating is, like, the last panel on the schedule was Star Wars. But you had people that were in line that were at the front of the room all day long just waiting for the Star Wars panel.
Yeah.
And kind of her recommendation, this makes a lot of sense, is that you have two lines. You have a morning panel line and you have an afternoon panel line. So that you don't go in there and you have to clear out Hall H between the two panels. Sessions.
Yeah.
So depending on when the panels start, you split the day in half. Maybe it ends at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, you clear out all of Hall H. It's a different line for people to get in for the end of the day. The downside with that plan is if you have someone who wants to see something early on and something late in the day, I mean, if they only want to see that early thing, they can leave and get in that second line. But if they wanted to see like the last panel of the morning session, and then wanted to see the first panel in the afternoon. Well, now they're back at the line. So that's kind of a downer.
For me, this came up very akin to BlizzCon, is things get sold out very quickly. I full disclosure, I didn't go earlier, didn't go as well, because by the time I learned of when this was going on, I was at WonderCon and tickets were already sold out. But BlizzCon is being completely held at a place that is no longer suitable for the masses of people that are going. Its tickets are being sold out way too quick. They need to find some system of that. And now getting on to Comic-Con, this is now becoming such the big event that it's selling out too quickly and a lot of people aren't able to go.
That being said, there's a lot of stuff going on in that area that aren't part of the conference hall.
And yet some people are only going for that one panel because that one actor or actress is in it.
Yeah. I mean, you do get some of that, I'm sure. But at the same time, there's a lot of stuff that go on around the convention center, not necessarily inside, that for the most part is free. And if you wanted to be kind of involved with some of that stuff or wear a costume or whatever, you can still kind of partake in some of the culture, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't get to be involved in some of the panels or see the booths that are going on inside or things of that nature. I do follow some of the guys online, and they do a lot of focus on the movie props, prop replicas, auctions that occur. And so that stuff's kind of interesting. And I think, you know, when I was younger, I wouldn't have cared so much about that. But I think now that I have a few years under my belt, that stuff does kind of spark a little bit more curiosity for me.
But when
an Enterprise replica, you know, movie grade replica that you can buy, or an authentic one that was used in a movie that you could buy at auction, that stuff's pretty cool. I mean, not everyone can say they have that.
What I'm saying is I shouldn't have to be like constantly looking every week to figure out when these tickets go on and have to be sitting on my computer spamming refresh for them to be on, you know, for them to be on sale and then to get in.
To be fair, if you followed Comic-Con or SDCC or something like that online, you'd probably get a report. You'd probably get an email if you wanted to subscribe to newsletters. You know, if you really want to get the information, you're probably not doing yourself the best service. Does it sell out too quick? Is the San Diego Conference Center
I think Comic-Con being outgrown? Is just...
It's plausible. Maybe they need to break it up and go back to the roots of comics and do an entertainment con that's kind of like E3, but more
pop culture, it's just
like
getting...
movies and that stuff. Probably.
I think it's just getting too hip. I mean, it's just, for me, it's just people who are, with the whole explosion of, you know, superhero movies that we have now, and they're saying, you know, it's awesome that we have this, but we now have everyone going.
Yeah, but I mean, look at everything that is going on in current culture that's based on comic books. You look at the TV shows, you've got Arrow, you've got Flash, you've got Supergirl coming out. I think iZombie was a comic book. Walking Dead. The list is on and on. Then you've got the movies that are all coming out that are all comic book based. So they're affiliated. Batman, Suicide Squad, blah, blah, blah. And even you got new ones. And then you got the Netflix stuff where they've got the Daredevil show. And they've got a couple Marvel affiliated shows as well. So, stuff's in the works, stuff tied to it. Is everything that happens at Comic-Con tied to a comic book? Absolutely not. Could there be alternate options for some of that stuff? Sure. But if you're a company that sells replicas of Star Trek, and you know Comic-Con is the biggest convention of the year, you want to put your product in front of those eyes.
I think what they should do, this goes for both Comic-Con and BlizzCon, and we're talking about San Diego. I really don't have any quarrels. I've never really done any research into the other Comic-Cons and elsewhere. But if they would just actually extend it, now that it's become so popular, both Comic-Con and BlizzCon here, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
I actually mentioned that to our coworker maybe Comic-Con needs to be 2 weeks long and they can spread the panels out, not have all the major panels, for instance, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Star Wars,
Arrow and Flash and Gotham.
I don't know how many of those were on the same day. I know the first three that I mentioned were. And so you got people fighting for position because they want to be at the front at the panel they want to see. And if that means they prevent people from being up front of the panel that other people want to see, then so be it. Because as long as they have their spot,
yeah,
they're happy. So like I said, if they were to either clear out the room, you know, had different lines for different panels, whatever, or extend the whole con, yeah, I think that might benefit. Now, these companies are having an expense with being there. They have to pay money to have a booth. They have to staff people there working the booth. So there's a cost involved with that. And then some stuff is in production that they need people to be back on set. You know, you've got things like that that you've got to juggle. So it's really a fine line.
I mean, you can do volunteers for that, though.
You can't volunteer an actor who wants to be on a panel that also
Well, I mean, but work. I mean, you can space out the panels, but you can also have the people who are staffing the booth just be volunteers.
You can't, though, because they need to be knowledgeable. They need to know what's going on, and you're not going to be able to train volunteers that quickly. Where it's 1 week, it's a suitable expense for a company. If it's two, it's a little bit more. You know, it costs $1,500 a week to send somebody somewhere and have them stay. More in certain cities. Hotels, food expenses, travel, etc. Not to mention shipping equipment and that kind of thing.
And I guess it's that give and take of
there's
you know, how many people would, you know, go. More people would go if the cons are extended.
You open the door for more people to attend overall.
Yeah.
But does it make sense to have 100 people come in over a 2 week period each day, or have it over 1 week and you have 300 people showing up on a 1 week deal? You have shortened costs involved only doing it 1 week, and now you have 300 people joining every day, so to speak. It's a better profit to cost ratio.
But you could make the argument where with more people coming in, it's more money going in to buy things.
Yes, but if the bottom figure, you're right. But it's like buying a candy bar. Do you buy one candy bar for $1 or do you buy two at 75 cents? You know, if you can cram 300 people in for a week per day on a 1 week deal, you have a higher profit versus cost than having 100 people come in every day for a 2 week period. You've increased your costs. Yeah, you got more people coming in over a 2 week period per se. My numbers aren't true, so actually mathematically it doesn't work. But you guys know what I'm trying to say here. It may not make sense from a cost standpoint. So
I'm just saying I would go if there were actually, you know, more space, more time in the con.
You would go if you could get a ticket.
Yeah, well, that too.
And your statement is it's hard to get a ticket because it sells out too fast.
And for Blitz, it's also with BlizzCon as well, is that you could technically get all your panels out. In the 2 days, Blizzard is pretty good about that. But you could just leave that place there, you know, pretty much have a, you know, staff there to help. I mean, let's be honest. We know where Blizzard headquarters is. And they do BlizzCon at the Anaheim Convention Center.
Yep.
It's not that far away.
Yeah.
There's little to no overhead with that.
Yeah.
If you could get all your panels out in 2-3 days... then extend BlizzCon out for everyone who wants to see the new games or whatnot, you know, for an extra 2 days after what we have now.
Okay, but I think the main focus for most people is the panels. And if you knock those out in 2-3 days, then you're not going to have nearly as many people as you may think showing up for the rest of it. But this is getting really long-winded and kind of repetitive.
No.
So yeah, a little bit shorter, a little bit long-winded on some of that. We do encourage you to visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/abundance.not, or at Twitter, do follow us, abundance.not. And we'll talk to you there. Videos posting daily, guys, so check us out on YouTube, abundance.not, and Wade's channel you will see there is AAON. Seawall, link on the main page.
CWAL, by the way.
That's correct. For you StarCraft fans, you'll get it. And with that, guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Keep on gaming. That's a wrap.